This is part two of a Bible teaching by David Ebal titled, Many Saviors.
How many know that God has got his fingers on the big controls? Huh? And so he causes situations of our life to what? Bring the, say it, Bob, get hot, and get under pressure to mold us into his own image. So we're just a big shot in the mold right now. And God's got the ram on, and the heaters are turned up high. Yeah, and so here we are. And I guess the next question is, so what's new? Have I described what's been happening in your life? So what's new? And he has a way of adapting us, and he uses our daddies, our in-laws, and our friends, and our, yeah, and enemies. Bumps on the fender and nice things too, to conform us to his own image. In what realm do you think the change is taking place? What's he out after? Well, actually, let's say that you can't fill the milk bottle until you wash it first. So the killing is not the purpose. The killing is the process. The purpose is to cause us to put on the mind of Christ. And so, you're right, Dottie. It does feel like a killing. God's guillotine. But the idea is not to get rid of your head. It's just to replace it. To give you a new mind, a new attitude. Not a new IQ. Okay, that's Hebrews. The Revelation one I wanted to get at for just a minute. In Revelation 1:5. You might have known we have at least one scripture out of Revelation. And in Revelation 1:5 we find, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and made us kings and priests unto God, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. So on. Now, I'm trying to get a concept here. If Jesus washed you by his blood, is that the act that made you kings and priests? I want you to read it again. Washing by the blood is a very definite act that Jesus brought on us. But he also, I want to read it just exactly right, hath made us kings and priests. And I'm submitting for your analysis that the process involves first spirit and soul and body. And the washing of the blood is for the spirit. Then he begins to make us, and that's for the soul. And he said, I got to go away so the Father can send the Holy Spirit, and he'll do all that work. Then, after the Holy Spirit's finished, the Father's going to send the glory, and that's the light. Who knows what it is? Some people claim that they have the spiritual eyes and sensitivity to see that glory every once in a while. But you know, someday it'll be so obvious that everybody will see it. Peter, James, and John went to the high mountain apart with him, and they beheld his glory. They saw the light. His face, raiment, did shine as the sun in his strength. Do you know that Jesus turned into an arc lamp? And I want to tell you something. If anybody here turned into an arc lamp, I'd know it. Though at times, I just look for a candle flicker. Just something every once in a while, Lord, to let me know that it's really happening. I'm submitting you for your analysis that in Revelation 5 we're beginning to see a process. Let's go to the next scripture, 1 Corinthians 15:20, to see if that shows to you a process. Am I giving you too many scriptures tonight? Well, I don't know how many we gave. What, about 15 or so? Starting in verse 20, "But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the firstfruits of them that slept." The firstfruits, the prototype. The firstfruits of them that slept. "For by since by man came death, by man came also the anastasis," the anastasia, the resurrection of the dead. "For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall a few, the very remnant," the just the last ones, "be made alive." Or did I do that wrong? Well, now, well, that's the way I heard it. "For as in Adam all die, so in Christ," the devil's just winning everything and long toward the end, "God's going to end this whole thing with a puff of smoke, and a few of the, just a very few of the good guys are going to make it." All. It says all. Oh, I wonder if it means all. Well, I looked it up, and it says all, and it meant all. "Be made alive." Well, you know something? The same Bible says there was a guy that was going to bed with his father's wife, committing incest, 1 Corinthians chapter 5, and he was turned over to Satan for the destruction of his soul and body, that his what? Might be... Are you seeing it? Well, this all can't refer to the soul and body. It's going to be... The soul and body is going to be destroyed by Satan. The word Satan, Apollyon, destroyer. "As Adam all dies, so Christ all be made alive. But every man in his own," what? The next word. Now, what was I just trying to bring forth out of Revelation? A concept of continuing steps, orders. Is that all right? Now, let's see if I can project this a little bit more. Every man in his own order. Christ the first fruits, afterward there are Christ that is coming, then cometh the end when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, and when he'll put down all rule and authority and power, and for he must reign till he put all enemies under his foot, and the last enemies that shall be destroyed is, well, I want to be around. I want to do it. I want to be a part of that group that's here at the destruction of the last enemy. Now, what order do you think that last group will have? I want you to see something. They're even going to have more glory. And some of you are looking kind of funny. You say, just a minute. Up in heaven, it's all, It is not all the same. Why one star differeth from another star in glory? You know all that. There's a glory of the celestial, glory of the terrestrial. And one star differeth from the other. So also is the resurrection of the dead. Now it looks like that some of you didn't even, you don't even know I'm quoting, so let me read it. It's in the same chapter. About this order and each guy coming in his own order. Let's see. 40. Celestial bodies, bodies terrestrial. Glory celestial one, the glory terrestrial the other. Glory of the sun, glory of the moon, glory of the stars. One star differs from another star in glory. So also is the anastasia of the dead. It's sown in corruption and raised in incorruption. It's sown in dishonor, it's raised in glory. It's sown in weakness, it's raised in power. It's sown a natural body, it's raised a... There is a... Okay. Now, which one of these bodies is going to receive the more excellent glory? The spiritual body or the natural body? Now, Dad, when he comes back, is going to come back with a what body? I took care of his natural body. He gets his spiritual body. But those who are alive and remain to the coming of the Christ put on incorruption and immortality. And they put on, not that I might be unclothed, but I might be clothed upon, they put on the glory, and they're clothed with light, with glory. Now, there's a glory of the sun, a glory of the moon, a glory of the stars, and the stars differ from each other in glory. I'm trying to show something, starting with Revelation 1:5, and I'm in 1 Corinthians 15, that there is a progression, and that there is going to be a greater reward for those who finish and win the race than there were for those who had to be in that cloud of witnesses. Now, is that too hard? Does that upset you any? Some folks get upset and they say, well, yeah, but Mama died and I want her to have the same reward as I get. Well, it's just that you can't see. You got to get in this spirit-soul-body thing. See, there's nothing wrong with Mama. She's in spirit. She's happy. When you see her, you'll know her. But when you see her, you'll have what kind of eyes? Spiritual eyes. What did Tom pray for you to have tonight? Spiritual eyes. What kind of ears did he pray for you to have tonight? I heard him. I checked him to make sure he did it right. He went right down the line. He had that prayer just right. Because you're going to have the ability to move in the spirit and the ability to move in the flesh, in the natural. Do you see it? You'll have both abilities. Now, those who come back will have the ability to move in the spirit. But those who are alive will have the ability to move in spirit and soul and body. But not your soul. By then, your soul will have been removed. And you will not have your selfish, mean attitudes, but by then you'll have the mind of Christ. Now, where there is no vision, the people perish. So, my friend, look up and see a vision. Romans 2:7 says, seek glory, seek honor, and seek immortality. You couldn't seek glory, you couldn't seek honor, and you couldn't seek immortality without a vision to seek it. My father didn't receive the vision because Dad was born to a generation that was born to die. But I'm talking to some people here tonight who I'm absolutely convinced are born to a generation that's born to live. Whereas we had to have in times past teaching on how to die, I think we need teaching on how to live. Same Bible teaches us how to die and how to live. But it was written for all the people. So Dad used it to learn how to die. I prefer to use it to learn how to live. If I'm wrong and I die, it sure was a neat way to go. It's a lot nicer, I think, planning on living than dying. You know, just, I don't know how you feel about it, but when you're around people that are wanting to die and getting ready to die, it's pretty morbid, isn't it? It's a bad place to be. But how about being around people that are living and liking it and enjoying life and love? Isn't that neat? Well, I like that a whole lot better. Now, we got the idea of continuing and progression out of this scripture. Give me the one in Colossians 1:18. He's the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have preeminence. Now, in a normal birth, what comes forth first? I would assume that God's births will be normal. Is that all right? We'll assume there's no breech birth with God. You know, we get them in the natural realm, but in God's realm, we'll assume it's all normal and the head comes first. Then the body of Christ, is that right? Okay, but the head must have preeminence, for it must be first because he's the firstborn. He is the first begotten. He's the prototype. And as the prototype, he has preeminence, for everything else is a copy of him. Now I'm going to skip and go to verse 23. I don't know whether I skip or not. I'm going to skip. If you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the what? That's important, not faith, hope, of the gospel, which you have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereunto I, Paul, am a minister. And verse 25 says, a minister to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery which has been hid from the ages of the generations, but now made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles. And what is this mystery? When we preach, wanting every man, teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus, where our labor, striving at the working. Now, would you agree this is progression? And who is Paul working with? The saved or the unsaved? You got it. The saved, you're right. He's not working with the unsaved here to get him saved. He's working with the saved to get him more saved. Can you see it? No, he couldn't go down and talk like this in the bar. And he didn't write this to the Paul to the brothers at the bar. He wrote this to the brothers at the church at Colossus. He wasn't trying to get them saved. He was trying to get Christians to move on, to get more saved. Because there's a past tense salvation, a present tense salvation, and a future tense salvation. There's a salvation for the spirit, a salvation for the soul, and a salvation for the body. So he did at one time go to them and become the father to them, for he preached unto them Christ. And they accepted the blood of Jesus for past sins, and they became Christians. Then he went back more and more and more, and he began to develop them in the faith. Are you seeing it? There's nothing wrong with those who do not reach perfection. It only means they're born that's in a generation that's born to die. But it's inconceivable to me, in all that I understand about God, to think that they would have more glory or even equal glory to those who are going to be alive and remain, overcome the last enemy, which is death, bring all the world into perfection. And so then, those that work the hardest, them that works the hardest gets the... You got it. Gets the most. But so there's no misunderstanding about this. It's not the longest. I'll say that again. It's not them's that works the longest. Because you remember the parable of the sower? And Jesus said at the end time, even the publicans and the harlots, the last ones, the last shall be what? first. So it's not, this may upset some of you union people, but it's not, does have, what do they call that? Seniority. It has nothing to do with seniority. No, it's performance that counts. And performance is in all realms. Is that okay? Now, of course, we would assume that the most senior would perform the best, but Jesus said it won't always be that way. Now, I'm trying to bring up a concept of progression now. Now go to 1 Timothy. Well, no, I'm just going to give you a bunch of these scriptures now. Now, in this next section about saviors, I'm going to refer to a number of scriptures to prove to you out of the Bible that there is a plurality of saviors, and you'll be surprised what saves. How many have heard that Jesus saves? How many other things are there in the Bible that save? You're looking funny. Is this too much for you? All right. 1 Timothy 4:16 says, you can actually save yourself and them that hear you if you teach right. James 5:20 says, you can actually save a soul. I think we better read it. 1 Timothy 4:16, take heed to thyself and to the doctrine. Continue in them. For in doing this, thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. Now, did that say that Jesus is going to save you? No, because Jesus already saved you, or else you wouldn't be interested in the doctrine. Can you see it? Okay, so my first question is, what is something in addition to Jesus that will save you? Yourself. You're continuing in the doctrine. Are you hearing me? Now, you look kind of funny. You look like I'm teaching heresy. This is not heresy. This is Bible. You can actually save yourself. But you can't save yourself in spirit. You can only work out your own salvation in soul. Okay. There you go. The process. Okay. Now go to James 5:20. Let me try another one, see if this makes sense. James 5:20. Let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins. And this has to do with a brother who is erring in the way. So then, we can actually save each other. Is that too much on you? We can actually become saviors to each other and save a soul. Let me read some more. Luke 18:24 says, thy faith has saved you. Jesus was speaking. So now we find that faith also saves. Romans 11:14, Paul was saying, if by any means I might save some of Israel. Paul thought he could save him, and I thought only Jesus saved. Well, I know that only Jesus saves spirits, but there's a whole lot more to be saved than just spirits. 1 Corinthians 7:16 says, you don't know whether you shall save your wife or your husband. That's why you're not to get the divorce, but to go ahead and remain separated. Whether you caught that or not, but that's in 1 Corinthians 7. And it says in 7:16, you'd be better off not to get the divorce because you don't know whether you would save that one or not. And you can actually save your husband or wife. What saves your soul? The engrafted word. Jesus came into the world to save sinners. See how many things there are that saves? How about this one? The prayer of faith shall save the sick. Didn't even say heal the sick. The prayer of faith shall save the sick. How about this one? whereunto even baptism does also save. And all the Baptists said, baptism also saves. Save others, save with fear, pulling them out. Jude 23, where to do it, where to actually save others with fear. Now, there have been times that I don't like to hear this hellfire and brimstone preaching, because that's the fear, right? But would you agree that every once in a while you got to scare the hell out of them? I know a fellow who's got a motorhome and it has a sign on the visor and it says, read the Bible, it'll scare the hell out of you. Well, there is a time, if you can't get him any other way, then get him with fear. Is that all right? But I prefer the other ways, the love and the other techniques. But there are times, if you got to snatch him, then get him out with fear at the last moment. Is that okay? So there is a place even for your hellfire and damnation preachers to get him saved by fear. Romans 8:24 says we're saved by hope. So you can not only be saved by faith, but you can be saved by hope. Am I saying something to anybody? Do you see what I'm driving at? There's a multitude of methods of coming into salvation as well. By grace are you saved. I thought it was by hope, and then it says by faith, and now it says by grace. That was in Ephesians 2:5. And hold on, ladies, in 1 Timothy 2:15 it says, you shall be saved in childbearing. Now, I don't know just how that works, but let's keep going right here now. I don't know how I'm going to end up, but here goes. We've given enough scriptures to prove that there is a multiplicity of saviors, plural. And there's a multiplicity of methods of salvation. Well, let me ask you a question. Have we given enough scriptures to prove it? You look like you have been hit over the head. I didn't mean to hurt anybody's feelings here tonight. Now, do you think that we're putting Jesus down? No. He is the only begotten of the Father. He is the firstborn. He is the prototype. That doesn't put him down. Neither does it put you up. But it gives you a target which is very up. Can you see it? And tells you that you have the power to hit it. Don't miss the mark. Don't miss the mark. No one here. Don't ever say die. And if you can't remember anything else from this lesson, remember this. Hang in there, baby. Don't say die. Keep on keeping on. Go through the changes that are necessary. Yes, the mold is hot, and yes, there's a lot of pressure. But the reward is great. Because when the mold pops open, and they shoot that cooling cycle to you, man, hallelujah. You come out conformed to His own image. You are a son of, you are a huios. A manifest Son of God, a joint heir with Christ, one who's going to rule and reign with Him for 1,000 years. And that means that where He that hath begun a good work in you is able to finish it. You believe it? All right, so let's don't give up on the guy who started it. Now, I want to get to the brethren scriptures. And I believe I was pretty close to this Hebrew one before. Maybe I can get it now. In Hebrews 1:6, we found He bringeth the first begotten into the world. Now I'm going to go to 2:11, just right close by it. I think I'll start 2:3. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken to the Lord and confirmed unto us by them that heard them, signs and wonders, miracles, gifts of the Holy Ghost. For both, I'm in 11 now, for both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of, what's the next word? One. For which cause he's not ashamed to call them brethren, saying, I'll declare my name unto my brethren in the midst of the church while I sing praise unto thee.
Please stop your machine and turn this cassette over.